Good morning.
Great to see everybody this morning. Let's open in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As a church, we are going verse by verse through Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. So we've come to these chapters here, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Chapter 12, we are looking at the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If you're with us a couple weeks ago, Paul, at the beginning of the chapter, he mentioned that as Christians, we no longer serve dumb idols. That's the way he described it in those beginning verses. That as believers in Jesus, I don't follow some false god anymore. I don't pray to something or someone that cannot speak to me, respond to me. I don't take part in these religious rituals, you know, that have no power to them to change me, heal me, give me victory. I'm not part of this false religion anymore that cannot save me. But you and I, is the way he described it in verse 3. We've come to know Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And we know him personally. We know God. So it's no longer a religion, right? That's what we say. It's not a religion at all. It's a relationship. We walk with God personally. So before Christ, dumb idols, false religion, now we know the living God. We know him personally. Well, with that further, as we know, we're going to study the Bible. We've also been given the Word of God. Not only do I know the Lord, but I've been given his Word. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that this isn't just print on a page, but the Bible is living. The Word of God is living. The way the writer of Hebrews describes it, it is a powerful sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I have this living Word of God. No longer the dumb idols, he says to the church of Corinth, whatever false religious system, but now I know the living God and I have his living Word. Paul, speaking of this book, the Bible, we have, how it's all we need, right? To know God, to live a godly life, to have a life of good works. This is the way he describes it to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, again, I don't follow a dead religion. Paul begins this chapter, I know the living God. I have his Word, I have his Bible, but we come to these chapters especially because not only is all that true, but we also have the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're considering for these next few weeks. And I'm thankful, as I've mentioned, that we get to consider these verses and chapters together. We have the Holy Spirit. Paul mentioning to the church at Thessalonica, just the way even the gospel came to them, the way he describes it, he says it this way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. That we have the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God has come to you, but I also have the third person of the Trinity. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. He explains even in the way the gospel was revealed to them. And so then Paul writing to Titus also about the Spirit that you and I have. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, then he says this, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So, no more dead religion, some idol, can't speak to you. Just no dead ritual. No, we have this relationship now with Jesus. We have his Word, and we also have the present work of the Holy Spirit. We often say, right, to be a Christian is a radical thing. Through faith in Jesus, we have been born again, born of the Holy Spirit. The old is gone, the new has come. So this morning, as we get started again into these verses, I am thankful that we get to study this. I think these verses are important to the church, have always been important. I think especially on the road ahead, as I've mentioned with you, looking into the future, the road. What is it going to be for the church in America? I am so thankful for these sort of things that we're going to study together. I think back to an experience I had about 15 years ago. I was with some New England pastors. We were in Arizona. I was for a season on this board of a disaster relief ministry. The ministry was called Willing Hearts Helping Hands. Maybe if you were with our church back then, you might remember we went to Katrina. In fact, we went to New York City right after, ministered a lot for a year after 9/11. And then for a season, I was on the board of that ministry, Willing Heart Helping Hands, focused on disaster relief. So a group of pastors and I were in Arizona. We meet at this Calvary Chapel, and this pastor really blessed me. I didn't expect the meeting that we had. We were meeting about disaster relief, but very quickly, this older saint, because of a burden on his heart, he changed the whole meeting and wanted to speak to us about the Holy Spirit. This man had been involved in the Jesus movement, which we refer to now and then at Calvary Chapel, right? This revival really is what it was, that a lot of hippies came to Christ in the late 60s, early 70s, this work across our nation. He was in the 1960s an overseer of the Shiloh ministry to the hippies, so he had lived, was an instrument in the Jesus movement. We're having this meeting about disaster relief, you know. We're supposed to be talking about equipment we're going to buy. We're setting up this place in the Midwest and strategy and so forth. And really, our meeting had nothing to do with that. He had a burden and he wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. If you've ever met him, maybe you've heard the stories, but he shared with me stories of those early days of the Jesus movement, what he saw, what he experienced, incredible things. But he shared this about Calvary Chapel. He says, you know, he said, you know, he had a burden and his concern that Calvary Chapel, that's what we're part of, this family of churches. Over the decades since the Jesus movement, we've been stepping away from the works of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit. And he shared, he believed it's because as we look around, we see all the abuses. We see all the excesses in the church at large. So we've become more hesitant. And in his opinion, and he began to share this with tears in his eyes. He was burdened by it, this sweet saint. We've become overly cautious regarding the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as I listened to this man with tears in his eyes, it began to just stir my heart. Because, you know, I've shared a time just wanting more of just the grace of God, the Spirit of God upon my life. Well, when we were done with the meeting, I asked him, hey, Pastor John, I said, would you pray for me? I want a greater work of the Spirit. So the other pastors I was with, we all agreed. So we joined hands and we prayed in his office. And because of his way, just the sweetness to him, this older saint had been a minister over 50 years. I'd lived through a revival. He, as we prayed, even led us, some of us, to pray in tongues and so forth. And so we prayed in his office. And I confess, it was not what I expected. We were supposed to have a meeting about disaster relief. I left instead this man's office with this sweetness, a refreshment of the Spirit of God in my life. Now, I remind you, we come to a text that maybe some of us see differently. This church, people come from different backgrounds. I was raised in a completely different background. I recognize that. I remind you as we start, in the middle of these chapters is chapter 13. In chapter 13, right, the greatest of these is love. We noted this in the last couple of weeks. The greatest of these is love. So we can agree to disagree, right? We can study this together. I can share with you my opinions and so forth, my story, my journey. But the greatest of these is love. I was on a flight back in 1998 from JFK to Tel Aviv. It was my first time going to Israel. I was with 50 pastors. We're going for a pastor's tour. Tel Aviv, you know, JFK Tel Aviv on LL Airlines. This is about a 12-hour flight. I ended up in the seat next to Joe Foch. And I tell you what, I love that man and I love his teaching. You can go to ccphilly.org and listen to this man's teaching. Wow, what a rich Bible teacher. Huge church of 12,000 or so. So I've got him captive audience for 12 hours, right? I'm going to pepper him with questions. I do so throughout the entire flight. He never really gets to take a nap or anything. I've got him next to me. He can't go anywhere. I just pour into him. I want to know as much as I can know. Part of our time sitting on the plane, we get into this discussion about the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he explained to me, as knowing these verses and knowing the history of Calvary Chapel, he explained to me, he says, you know, A season ago, I had a burden for our church that I wonder, you know, I don't see a lot of the manifestations of the Spirit in our church. And he began to struggle, like, you know, is there a lack of the work of the Spirit of God as a result? And then as he explained to me, he says, I was reminded in the middle of these chapters and so forth, there's this emphasis, the greatest of these is love. He says, and I looked at my church, I considered Calvary Philly, man, it is so filled with the love of God, people loving people, such a loving ministry. And he says, it reassured me. You know, the greatest thing has happened in love, and so we got the greatest. But I remind you that of that as we look at this. So if you don't necessarily agree with some of the things that I'm going to say, that, you know, may God lead you. But I believe this. I have noted it. This is the third week. I'll continue to mention this. I've been here 27 years. I fully believe. I really do. If it wasn't for what is here in these verses, I don't think I'd be on this stage because of some of the crazy battles we've hit with radio, some of the insane seasons and so forth. And I've had the Word of God to minister to me, to lead me, to reassure me, all the wonderful things we have in the Word of God. But there's also the third person of the Trinity. And there are key times in my journey where the Holy Spirit showed up to supernaturally renew me. I'll share stories as we go along. I believe very much in the ministry of the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. I had, you know, a word from somebody, some of the things we're going to describe, I'm going to just tell you my journey, where God showed up in little ways, in a key moment, in a key way, ministering to me, encouraging me, affirming, confirming, we're doing the right thing, stay on track, so forth. And so I'm going to just continue to share these things with you, because who knows? Where's it all going, right? Where's it all going for the church in America? If the road is going to get harder, I think all the more. I'm thankful so much for the present work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the history of Calvary Chapel, right? We emphasize the Word. We go verse by verse through it. But the Holy Spirit is alive and well. And so let's say a word of prayer, shall we? We're going to pick up in verse 8. Father, as we go through these things, I thank you we can study the Bible together. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. We're told in 1 John, you know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, the anointing, teaching us, leading, instructing us. I thank you. I ask for your blessing upon this time. I ask, Holy Spirit, you be upon all of us, even myself, as we go through these verses. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Last week, as we have been studying this now a couple of weeks, we noted, you know, the manifestations of the Spirit here. And Paul noted in verse 7, that key point, that when the Holy Spirit works in this manner and manifests himself, he does so to the profit of all. God works through an individual, Holy Spirit, in one of these manifestations, but he does so for others. Others is the focus, all. Maybe it's two or three, but it's for the two or three, or for the corporate body at large when we're together. I see what is here in the context of the corporate body being together. That's what I see in these verses, and I noted that, and you can listen to previous studies. Then at verse 11, we noted it each time, but we'll get there next week, God willing, we'll get to verse 11. But verse 11, he also makes the point that the Spirit of God is distributed. You know, the Holy Spirit does this, these manifestations, as he wills. He determines. This is something he does. Well, last week in verse 8, we studied the word of wisdom. Explained, you know, it's the Holy Spirit giving an answer to a certain question, a dilemma, a problem. Gave examples of that. God giving supernatural guidance. We have the Holy Spirit. What do we do? We have this dilemma. We have this problem. Don't know what to do. I've explained situations last week. You can listen online, watch online. The Holy Spirit at times can give this word of wisdom. Now we come this week to the second part of the verse, and that is to the word of knowledge. What is the word of knowledge? What exactly is that? The NIV has it this way: to another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. Word of knowledge, message of knowledge, the Holy Spirit giving this. Now, what exactly is it? I believe it speaks of the supernatural revelation of information we could not know naturally. When the Holy Spirit reveals knowledge concerning a specific situation, maybe a person, maybe events, things that we had no prior knowledge, the Holy Spirit is doing that for a purpose, chooses to do it. We have certainly examples in our New Testament. Jesus, obviously, is an example of that. And remember, Jesus, he put aside his glory. The incarnation, God the Son became a man. He put aside his glory, still divine, still the Son of God. But it is yet true, the mystery, the whole mystery of the incarnation. Jesus was truly a man as us. And is our example too then? He lived on this planet. At the baptism, he needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him. There's all that mystery. I'll leave it to you. It's beyond us. The Son of God, divine, yet he put aside his glory, remained God, yet in every way was a man and needed the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so he goes forth from his baptism with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it's described. And it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, working through the Son in those ways. Well, in John chapter 4, verses 17 to 19, Jesus, the woman at the well, remember, this is an example of a word of knowledge. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you've said, well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Well, Jesus, and that's an example of a word of knowledge. He obviously, through other ways, did not know anything but the Holy Spirit. No, you've had actually five husbands and you're living with a man. She says, wow. Peter, Jesus ascends, right? Crucified, died, ascends. Now the Spirit is given. Pentecost, the church is born. Now you have Peter. Similar sort of thing. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, where Peter is given a word of knowledge. You remember in Acts 5, certain man Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, he died, as you remember in the passage. And then the whole thing repeats exactly almost with his wife. But Peter, the word of knowledge, discerning, you are a hypocrite. You're lying. You sold the land, excuse me, but you've only brought a portion of the money, but you're acting like you're giving it all, but you're not. I recall hearing this story of a Calvary Chapel pastor's wife in New England. Years ago, she was in a meeting. She was ministering to a woman, and she was, you know, counseling her, and I don't even know the details of that, but as she was, this Calvary pastor's wife kept hearing in her mind, her spirit, just this name, a person's name, and it was just kept happening. It was bothering her. She's ministering to this woman, this counseling sort of session, but this name keeps coming in her mind, and she's bothered by it, and she discerns and believes, this must be the Lord. So she says the name to the woman. And the woman was shocked, then overcome with incredible conviction. Because unknowingly, this woman, unknown to others, she was living in a secret, very immoral relationship she was hiding, and that was the person's name. So here they're having this meeting, and it's about whatever, and this pastor's wife, God wants to get to the bottom of it evidently, and brings forth this name. And that lady, obviously, she was being confronted with the Lord, and then it led to this powerful repentance. It's really what she needed. You can have a meeting about all these other issues, but here's the real root issue. You're living in rebellion against God. Now, you may not believe, you know, some of us may not believe it's possible today. You're free to believe whatever you do. I don't agree with you. I cannot agree with you. And that is because I believe we've been given the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is within us. And why would I limit God? God can do whatever he wants to do, especially at times if there's a need to do that. It's true, people get really weird. People do a lot of weird things. I agree with this pastor years ago. For that reason, a lot of the church, we back away because of all the crazy, insane weirdness. But I don't think weird and people doing weird discounts the genuine. And maybe you're listening right now and you've been on a journey. And you're just in a season where you're dry and struggling and whatever it might mean, just wilderness in your soul. I believe in the present work of the Holy Spirit. What God can do even now as we're sitting here in your holy, in your heart. I didn't know, you know, we would be considering these things. And Jessie, who gets our bulletin, and she picked a cover for this week. I didn't realize that. But, you know, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The refreshing is the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God wants to work in you today in that way. I think a word of knowledge can also at times include a warning or a confirmation where, you know, God can come in a different way and through a word, somebody, God can speak, you know, through that situation and give you a warning. Or maybe he can confirm, you're on the right track. God is going to work this out and that sort of thing. And to me, I put that under a word of knowledge because only God knows the future. So if somebody's, you know, the Spirit of God is warning or confirming something, only God knows the future. So if somebody has, the Holy Spirit is ministering through them with some sort of knowledge. It's a warning. It's an encouragement. Now, I personally, you know, I refer to this pastor's wife. I've never had an experience like that personally. You don't have to worry if you're having a conversation with me, like names aren't going around in my mind, you know what I'm saying? Or numbers, or like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to hit you with something. Dude, I can't even remember my name most of the time. You know, I'm like, who am I? Who am I? You know, so I can't do that. So you don't have to worry about that. But I do, I thank God for the Holy Spirit where God has showed up in ways that I would consider a word of knowledge, maybe you call it something else, where somebody gives me a note, a key time. A letter comes in the mail. How could that happen, the timing of it? An email, some way somebody speaks and there's a scripture, there's a thought, and it's the Holy Spirit at that moment giving me a word that I need at that moment. I thank God for that. I really do. Now, some of us may define a word of knowledge in a different way. Some define it in a more narrow sense. This is the way it's defined. This is William MacDonald in his Believer's Bible Commentary. The word of knowledge is the power to communicate information that has been divinely revealed. I do agree with that. This is illustrated in Paul's use of such expressions as this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Or this expression. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. So MacDonald says, in the primary sense, it's conveying new truth. And in that sense, the word of knowledge is ceased. Because the Christian faith has once for all been delivered to the saints. Jude 1, verses 3. The doctrine, our Christian doctrine, all that is complete. I fully agree that the Bible is complete. There is no more doctrine, no more revelation of that. God has revealed all that we need right here in this book. But I don't define the word of knowledge in such a narrow way. I just gave you other, you know, other ways of understanding it, and I see it in that sense of the, you know, the Holy Spirit. Like Paul in Acts chapter 14, verse 9. This man, he looks at him and he discerns, I believe it's the Holy Spirit, that this man can be healed. How did he do that? I don't think it was an expression on the man's face. I think it was something the Holy Spirit was speaking to Paul. The man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, how did he discern that? He said with a loud voice, stand up straight and on your feet. And the man was healed and stood up. So I'd say that is a word of knowledge. That's the way I define it anyway. And I am so thankful for what God has done on our journey. It's, you know, so many stories. I shared last week, you can listen online. I began our studies in this with that experience I had with this building. And I mentioned to you, we are in this building today in this sanctuary because of a word of knowledge. Totally believe it. I gave the story. You can listen. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here today. At a very key and critical moment, as I shared. we were about to not do this, renovate this mill, and at a key moment, God intercepted with a word of knowledge. And you can listen to the message. I believe it undoubtedly is the hand of God. And that's why we're here. So I explain that. But, you know, since we didn't really dig into the verse, and that's part of the verse, I'm just looking at it with you here today. I think of our radio journey. Wow, our radio journey. Going back to our very beginning, 2005, 2006, you know, there's many stories with the radio even before, but it was owned by Chuck Smith before. Chuck had two stations locally, one for years that we ran, and then we got another one for him, and then we own both of those now. But in 2005, 2006, we started as a church our own journey in radio in that we bought radio licenses from a ministry and started to go down a road of building radio stations, and we continue to do that today. I believe we have about 15, and we're heading into an auction this week for a 16th license. We have Spanish radio now, too. Check it out on our banner if it's up in the fellowship hall. You can listen. Well, we had acquired some licenses, and so we're now on this new venture, going to build an FM radio station ourselves. I'd never built an FM radio station. And all of the, you know, just the intimidation of that, the unknown, the very limited budget, the obstacles, it began. You know how you do a venture in faith. You walk by faith. We do it as a church and all that goes on with that. Well, it's January 2006. We're in the middle of that. The elders of our church, which we do annually or biannually, we headed up to Alton Bay to seek God. And we were going to seek God about this radio venture because we had already started it. We only had a few months to go to build it, and already, oh, how this is going to happen in these few months? We're going to get the money to pay for the equipment, and it's so expensive, and all that's got to happen. How is this going to happen? And yet, we've already spent a good amount of money. Well, a year prior, I had been up in that same retreat center, and God had ministered to me. I didn't expect it, but through various ways, about the homosexual community and about our church ministering to the homosexual community. That's a year before. Now I'm returning a year later to the same place, this little Bethel that I go to. But now in between that, we've acquired these radio licenses, and it is in North Truro. And this first license station mainly covers one town, P-Town. That's mainly all it covers. So we're going to build a radio station in Provincetown. And we're in the middle of it. So this is what happens. It's the week I'm going up. I think it's the very day I'm leaving the office to go up. I get an unexpected letter. It's mailed to me, delivered to me. I open it up. It's a listener of our radio. This lady was listening to my radio program. At the time, it was called Step by Step. She said she was delivering her kids to school, and the program's only 15 minutes. So most of the time, she didn't hear what I was even saying. It just little phrases of it. Didn't really know what I was teaching on. Had no idea what I was talking about. But one word she heard, and it stirred her. And she heard the word Provincetown. I had mentioned it in a sermon, and that was on the radio. She just heard Provincetown. She felt stirred, she said. So she sat down and wrote a letter and sent it to me. And she said, I don't really know what to write, except this is what God's... I don't even know what you're talking about. But Provincetown, she knows nothing about a radio venture. And she writes this. She said, I feel God is telling me to tell you, God has put a vision in your heart. Don't let the vision perish. Be faithful to the vision that God has planted in your heart. And she said, I feel led to remind you of this thing, two perspectives of a situation. One is the perspective of man. We look from man's vantage point at what's going on, and we see the obstacles, we see the challenges. But she goes, I want to remind you to see it from heaven's perspective. What God sees, and what God sees is it's already done. So I get this letter. I go up to Alton Bay. She's included this verse in it, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb? God's speaking to Israel. If I form something, I'll bring it to birth. So I go, I meet with the elders, and I share this letter. And we're all like, wow, that's like really a timely letter, isn't it? That's like a word of the Lord. We sensed it. Well, we continued for that weekend to seek the Lord. And this, I keep a prayer journal, and this is written in my prayer journal. I was reading it as I was preparing the study and went back to it. But I wrote this in my journal from what we said. that we believed that weekend that we needed to be faithful to the vision, and that God then spoke to our hearts this, that God will provide all that is needed as we do it, and that God would give us needed favor with those in authority as we do it. Well, that's January, late January. It's only a few months later. This has got to happen. And it's what I, when I flip through the pages of my journal, is what I read. God did exactly that. I believe he gave with a word of knowledge to encourage us to continue. Talk about how the Lord provided. I could tell you so many stories, including financially, but just the miracles. Here's one of them. This is just one of the things. Talk about providing this way. The very last day we're building this radio station in North Truro. The engineer, I've never built one before, who's come up Virginia, we've hired to help us. He's got to leave at the end of this day. It is the last weekend till the license expires. Our FCC attorney is going to stay late in his office in D.C. if needed, so he can license us. We need to get it on the air, according to him. We got to get it on the air at certain power and with the studio and so forth, and we can license it. Well, as we're doing this, it's early afternoon. We discover that a part is missing. You ever been in that sort of situation? You're like, you know, the stress, like, you know, the ulcers you get sort of thing. Well, back in 2006, there was no Facebook, those sort of things. A lot of that didn't exist, right? A little bit of internet. I don't remember exactly. I think Rob, the engineer, had a laptop. So anyway, he's doing some research, doing phone calls. We find the part at a place in Meredith, New Hampshire. It's early afternoon. The day's going to end. We have to license. How do we do this? This is what happened. I think it was a miracle of provision. The man at this store said to Rob on the phone, "You know what? I know of a bus terminal not too far down the road. I think they have a bus that goes to Boston. I'm going to go there, see, and if I can find a bus, I'll ask a bus driver, hey, can you take this part to Boston?" Now, we're in P-Town, right? 3 hours away, more about that, from Boston. So he calls us a little later. He says, "Hey, I did it. I went to the bus, you know, the train station, bus station, and there was a bus, Greyhound. I gave it to the driver." So at that time, while we're in North Truro, we got people working in our studio so we can make this all happen here in Fitchburg. I have a friend of a friend who's in our studio at the time. He's from Somerville. He's visiting from Somerville. So I call him. I said, "Hey, man. Hey, JR, you do me a favor. There's a bus. Believe it or not, this is kind of strange, but there's a bus coming from somewhere in New Hampshire. Can you go find it at the bus stop? Find the bus driver. He's got a part we need." So he leaves. He goes to the bus station. Sure enough, he finds the bus driver. He gets the part. He drives through the tunnels to Logan Airport, because the guy who owns this little ham tower that we're going to be on happens to work for Cape Air. And he made a call to Cape Air. So JR went, and he ended up, and the way he said it, he got there right as the last flight was leaving Logan for the day to go to P-Town. Cape Air. Went up to the counter. He says, "Hey, I got this part." And the person behind the counter said, "Yeah, we heard there's something coming." Called the pilot, gave this little box to this pilot. We got a call while we were at the tower site that the pilot kind of dissing the owner of the tower, "Hey, you're weighing down my plane." It was just a little part. We never left the tower. You try to do that before Uber or anything like that. It just came right to the tower. And we put it in and we licensed the station. All miraculous, the radio, even the tower site. That owned by, you know, that license was owned by somebody else initially. They sent somebody out from the Midwest to find the tower. They could not even find the tower in that area. It was tough. Last day, this man I know now, you know, after, he is thinking, "Well, I can't find a tower. I got to go to Logan, get on the plane." He stands on a little beach in North Truro. He doesn't know what to do. He prays. He turns around, and on the hill right there, he spots a ham tower. We go try to find out in this last couple hours here, is that even available? And that's where our station is. Interesting thing is, the people who owned that license, it was a church. Calvary Chapel, Bishop, California, owned the license. We buy it. I drive out to North Truro to see this tower site. And, you know, I've heard they found a tower site. And now we're going to get the license. And the strangest thing, if you go, or interesting thing, if you go to North Truro, P-Town, there's a sign, Route 6. You know Route 6 goes there? There's a sign. It says Route 6. And it says it's like, this is 2,300 miles or something like that. This from here is 2,300 miles to Bishop, California. I guess Route 6 runs from Bishop to that area. And it's right near the tower. And I called up the pastor of Calvary Bishop when we were buying it from. I said, you wouldn't believe you're in Bishop. There's a sign right here that you're this many miles away from here. Anyway, all this to say to you, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. The work of the Holy Spirit. I want to just look at one other with you briefly, and that is faith, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. What does this mean? There are different ways faith is described in our Bible. Hebrews 11, the definition, right? Faith is this inward certainty, this confidence, this trust. We have faith. We exercise faith. It is necessary to receive salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Faith is also something the Bible tells us we demonstrate as we grow in Christ. It is the spiritual fruit of a Christian's life. Romans 10, 17, Galatians 5, verse 22. So this gift of faith is this way the Holy Spirit at times will come to a believer. And for a special occasion, a special reason, a special moment, will give faith for some sort of need, some sort of decision, some sort of venture. It is that faith that gives the ability for the mountains to be removed, to see God work his plan out in a wonderful way where he's glorified through, you know, it's bigger than us sort of thing what he does. So it's that faith that he gives for that moment. A New Testament example would be Peter. Peter, how many times walking by the temple, you know, would see that beggar there that was lame? How many times? That guy had been there for sure. Peter had seen him many times. But the one particular time, remember Peter, as he walks by in Acts chapter 3, sees the man, and the man says, you know, hey, you know, he's begging for, and Peter says, silver and gold I don't have. And the gift of faith, God has gave him faith, and he says, what I do have is stand up and walk. And God healed him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says it was faith, right? He says, and his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. It's faith in Christ that did it. Remember, Peter, walking on the water, obviously that's a gift of faith, and it didn't last very long, did it? But he saw the Lord. He says, Lord, if you command me to come out of the water, I will, you know, please. Jesus says, come, Peter. And Peter gets out of that boat, and actually a miraculous thing happens. He walks on the surface of the water until he sees the waves and the storm, and then there's fear, there's no faith, right? He sinks. It was a gift of faith for a very short season, but he walked on top of water. Now, this is a gift, so this is something, I remember these manifestations, I believe as we go through these verses here, this is not something that stays with the believer. That's the way I understand this list right here. These are things that happen corporately or between a few of us. And they come and they go as God designs and wills. And so this isn't a reservoir of faith I believe you keep. I believe it's this gift. The Spirit gives at times and will give you faith. In times in my little journey in ministry, God has just given me faith for the moment. Walking out of the gate at Caterpillar in San Diego, leaving my career and my wife, I had faith to do it as a young man. I didn't know how is any of this going to work out. We're just leaving. God's calling us to go to New England, Paula. I worked with another engineer who was a pastor also, but he pastored part-time because he worked to provide for his family, and he pastored part-time. And on weekends do the church thing. So I remember me leaving, him saying to me, how can you do that? How can you just leave everything? I can't do that. I got to stay here, man. I can't take that step. I just had the faith to do it. God had given it to me, and we did it. and he provided. That's the gift of faith. There are great men of faith in our Bibles and church history. George Mueller is a great man of faith that in a lot of ways constantly just showed the example of faith, taking care of the orphans, right, in the 1800s in England, you know, by faith. He wanted a story to show the church that God hadn't changed. That's what he wanted. He wanted a story, more than even the orphans. He wanted to minister to them, but he said, I want a story to encourage the church that God can do anything. And never asked for money, and by faith started taking care of orphans. 1,500 of them eventually he took care of, schooled, educated, fed, buildings, campus, all these sort of things, gave to missions, never asked for money. 71 years of age. After all that, he became a missionary for 15 years. Traveled over 250,000 miles. This is in the 1800s by horse, right? Preached to 40 different countries. I thought this was interesting. I heard a pastor refer to this recently. But Somebody asked his wife, where does George get that strength? And it was her answer I thought was intriguing. She said, every waking moment he has his Bible open on his knee. He never stops reading his Bible. And faith comes from hearing the word, doesn't it? You struggle with faith today, just in a general sense? Trusting God for your situation, your provision, your victory, whatever it is, you're struggling? Open your Bible, keep it on your knee. That's the answer, it is, for you and I. But then there's the gift of faith, where the Holy Spirit shows up, and he gives faith. Oh, there are many stories, right? You go back to those that P-Town radio station, Wellfleet, that we have. Just what God did. You know, we determined, believe that God is leading us to buy that license and a few others. It's going to be $50,000 down. And then $100,000 after the down payment. And we have no money back in 2005. We need 50 grand, then 100 grand. And it's for licenses that aren't even anywhere near here, but we feel called to do it. I've shared this story, I know, many times. But this sort of thing's happened over and over. So we're praying, seeking the Lord. I've got the contract. I've got the legal documents. Working with attorneys, the Calvary Bishop, they're selling it to us. And so I am being contacted. It's that week that I've dragged it out too long. We have no money. I believe the Lord's telling me to do it. We have no money. But they're like, you need to do this because we can't wait any longer. Somebody in our church, the church was aware of the whole situation. We were praying. Somebody in our church said, hey, listen, I have a friend who says he can finance this. And so I met with his friend, and his friend, wealthy man, said, yeah, listen, I can finance you. I'll give you the 50. Obviously, there'll be interest. We'll pay it over, and some note over time. And he says, we finance the 50, then when you're ready for the 100, you need the 100, I'll finance the 100. And so we had that possibility. So this week, now I can tell I can't drag this out any longer. And I'm thinking, well, I guess that's what we'll do. It's a Friday. I got it on my desk. I happened to hear during the day David Jeremiah teaching on our station. And he's sharing the story of how God supernaturally provided for his father. I feel stirred by it. I want to trust God. I call my wife and I'm explaining, I'm struggling. You know, I feel I'm supposed to sign this, but we don't got money. And I don't really want to go do the financing. And so, she tells me what she happens to be reading at that moment. What she happens to be reading is a devotional. She didn't know she was on the wrong day. But she reads it to me, and it's like prophetic. It's like how Malachi, you know, the gates in heaven have not frozen shut. God can do anything. God is miraculous. You know, she reads it to me. And I'm like, all right. And I sense God say to me, you can pay interest, or you can trust me. It's Friday. Many of you have heard the story. Sunday morning, two services. Pete Cernoia, who is our worship leader, who's in heaven now, finds me after the second service. He's very serious. I think something's wrong. He brings me out into the hallway, and I'm like, what is going on? He's like, George, I just need to talk to you. And I said, all right. He goes, there was a $50,000 check in the offering today. Just blew me away. I was like, that's for me in my little journey. I had that Sunday, I left this service. My mom is from France. She's from Paris. I was born in France. Her mom has died. I'm going to go with her to the funeral. So we go right from, after that, we go to the, I go to Logan. I meet my mom. We were flying to France. On the plane, my mom is a word of prayer, is a prayer warrior. She brings up this whole situation. She's been praying for the whole P-Town thing. She knows about it. She's praying about it. She goes, "Hey, how did I get a?" I was like, "Oh, mom, you wouldn't believe what happened today. I felt God tell me you can pay interest or you can trust me." And there was a $50,000 check in the offering today, mom. She's like, wow. You know, we're all, you know, we go through that. We get done. And when we got done, you know, it gets quiet on the plane. I decided to pull out my briefcase, my prayer journal, because I keep prayer journals. So I pull it out and going to just journal a little bit on the plane. And as I open it, Friday was the last time I had journaled. The very last line, "God, please provide $50,000. And I show my mom. I was looking at that journal, going through the details and considering this time, you know, teaching, sharing with you today. And as I was looking at that 2005 journal, my wife's even stuck a note in there as I opened it, and in her handwriting, $50,000 story, because she's noted some of the stories in the prayer journal. What's the road ahead going to be like? Where are we going in America? What's it going to be like for the church? For a Christian at work, school, or community? What's it going to be? What do you see down the road? We do not serve dumb idols. We don't have some dead religion or ritual. We know the Lord. And we have His Word and all that that means. The wonder of His Word that He honors above His name. But we also have the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us. And I believe we have these gifts as we go through. I will talk to you more. There's a lot of stories I could tell you. We'll stop there. We're going to pick up next week. Let's stand together, shall we?